Welcome to episode 10 of the Holy Bible, the New Testament, a Bible study series on the Anglican Hour. I'm Father Ron Shibley, rector, St. John Chrysostom Anglican Church, the host parish of the Anglican Internet Church. In episode 10, we conclude our discussion of 18 miraculous events in the Gospel of St. Mark with the final three examples demonstrating divine power over death, and the two examples of feedings of multitudes. I will also discuss the dialogue between Jesus and disciples James and John, which occurs just before the turning point verse in the Gospel of St. Mark, which is chapter 10, verse 45. The first example is found in Mark 5, verses 21 to 24, and continued and explained in verses 35 to 43, which demonstrate Jesus' divine power over death itself. The reading is most often called the raising of the daughter of Jairus. Jairus was the ruler of a synagogue, probably on the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee, perhaps near Capernaum, which was a center for Judaism in an otherwise Gentile region. The foundations of a synagogue were recently excavated there. Jairus came to see Jesus and fell at his feet, begging for his intervention on behalf of his daughter, who, quote, lies at the point of death. He pleads in verse 23, "Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she will live." As the New King James Study Bible points out, these verses signify that Jairus believed that Jesus had to actually touch his daughter in order to heal her. The narrative is interrupted by the account of another healing of the woman with a blood disorder, which I discussed in episode 8. While that incident was occurring, Jairus received word by messenger that his daughter was dead in verse 35. The messenger questioned the wisdom of further troubling Jesus, whom he calls teacher, the same as rabbi in Hebrew. St. Mark reports that Jesus told Jairus not to be afraid in verse 36, saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe." I discussed the meaning of "do not be afraid" in two previous episodes. Jesus continued toward the house of Jairus, taking with him into the house only St. Peter and the two brothers, St. James and St. John. St. Mark reports that members of the household were, quote, weeping and wailing, which is the Hebrew manner of lamentation. Jesus calmed their worries, saying in verse 39, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." The skeptics ridiculed Jesus, who sent all but Jairus and his wife outside, then went with them into the girl's room. The scene in the bedroom is described here in the chapel in Mayor of Munich's stained glass window number 22 on the south aisle. The window matches St. Mark's description. Jesus, right hand raised in an invitation to rise, holds the 12-year-old girl's left hand in his left hand. Jairus and his wife look on anxiously. Jesus said to the child in Aramaic in verse 41a, "Talitha kumi," which St. Mark translates in verse 41b as, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Again, as St. Mark does in nearly every account, the result happens immediately, with the girl rising and walking. An interesting part of St. Mark's narrative here is that Jesus not only commanded them to tell no one, as he did on many previous occasions, but also exhibits compassion for the girl, suggesting that someone bring her something to eat. The final set of examples of Jesus' divine powers demonstrated in miracles is found in the two accounts of the feeding first of the 5,000 in chapter 6, verses 30 to 44, and the second example of the 4,000 in chapter 8, verses 1 to 10. They differ in detail, and in the second account, Jesus refers back to the first. According to Nelson's New Illustrated Bible Dictionary 1995 edition, there were more than 9 cities with populations over 15,000 on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, including Bethsaida on the northeast corner near where the Jordan flows into the lake. In the first example, the feeding of the 5,000 in Mark 6, verses 30 to 44, it may have been the citizens of Bethsaida and others living on the east side of the lake who were meant when St. Mark writes in verse 33, "Many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities, when they saw him and the disciples in their boat on the lake." When Jesus and the disciples arrived on the east shore, after a brief period of quiet in their boats, Jesus saw their number and felt compassion for them. St. Mark describes them as being, quote, "like sheep without a shepherd" in verse 34. The concept of sheep needing a shepherd goes back to a verse in Numbers 27, verse 17, and is also referred to by several other prophets, including Isaiah and Jeremiah. St. Mark reports that Jesus began to teach, which means he sat down and spoke while they stood and listened. In verse 39, it is said that Jesus told the people to sit. But St. Mark does not tell us what lessons were taught. It was late that day when the disciples urged Jesus to send the crowds away to the towns and cities nearby to, quote, "buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat," in verses 35 and 36. Jesus told the disciples to give them bread, but they doubted, saying in verse 37, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" To this Jesus replied, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see," in verse 38a. And the answer he heard in 38b was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What happens next has a strongly liturgical feel about it. Jesus told the people to sit down, and so they sat, St. Mark reports, in, quote, "ranks, in hundreds, and in fifties." Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish and, quote, "looked up to heaven," unquote, in verses 39 and 40. Looking up to heaven describes the proper manner of prayer according to the Hebrew tradition, especially Psalm 5, verse 3, "My voice shalt thou hear betimes, O Lord. Early in the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." Then he, quote, "blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them," in verse 41. This pattern of bless, break, give has been followed in traditional Christian worship ever since, when the priest consecrates the elements and the assistants distribute them. The same pattern was followed for the fish, which, quote, "he divided among them all," in verse 41, meaning the people. St. Mark reports that the 5,000, quote, "all ate and were filled," unquote, in verse 42, with 12 baskets of bread and fish left over. The Orthodox Study Bible New Testament and Psalms edition notes that in the tradition of the day, only the men were counted, meaning that adding women and children, and based on St. Matthew's account in Matthew 14:21, there were many more than 5,000 present. In the second example, the feeding of the 4,000, found in chapter 8, verses 1 to 10, the details of the thanksgiving prayer and distribution of the bread and fish in the feeding of the 5,000 are not repeated, but St. Mark does include an account of a different quantity of bread and fish and of an interesting dialogue with the doubting disciples. This event happened in the Decapolis, the group of 10 cities on the east side of the River Jordan, south and east of the Sea of Galilee, and known at the time of the conquest of Canaan as the Gilead, and during the kingdom years as Edom. One of the cities in the Decapolis was Gerasa, where Roman-era remains are still visible, which you can see in the picture on the screen. The people, who likely were mostly Gentiles, had been following Jesus for 3 days and now had nothing to eat. Jesus, demonstrating divine compassion, said in verse 3, "If I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar." As in the case of the feeding of the 5,000, the disciples were skeptical. "How can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness?" they said in verse 4. The dialogue illustrates a theme of the Gospel of St. Mark, the power of faith, which is especially evident in the final verse, in verse 21. Only the Eastern Orthodox Church teaches that what happened next is the fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy, in this case from Psalm 78, verses 20b and 21b in the 1928 prayer book text says, "Shall God prepare a table in the wilderness? Can he give bread also?" Having determined that they had 7 loaves and a few small fish in verses 5 and 7, Jesus, as in the case of the 5,000, told the people to sit on the ground, offered thanks, meaning he prayed, looking to heaven, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, repeating the same for the fishes. Afterward, in verse 8, we learn that there were 7 large baskets of leftovers. This account should not be read without jumping ahead to chapter 8, verses 14 to 21, an event which happened only a day later on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. The disciples had only 1 loaf of bread in the boat. Jesus, seeing their skepticism, said, questioning them concerning the reason. They replied, "Is it because we have no bread?" in verse 16. Jesus replied, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up?" he asks in verses 17 to 19. 12, they replied. Jesus continued, "Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up?" he asks in verse 20. 7, they replied. St. Mark reports that Jesus said to them in verse 21, "How is it you do not understand?" It is clear from this dialogue that at that point the disciples did not understand who Jesus was, nor did they have complete faith in his answers. We close this episode with a discussion of the transition verses which occur just before the point in which the purpose of Jesus' incarnation is revealed in chapter 10, verse 45. This is St. Mark's account of 2 dialogues between Jesus and the 2 sons of Zebedee, James and John, found in verses 35 to 44. The time is just days before Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. The location is unclear. St. Mark says only that in verse 32 they were on the road to Jerusalem, and then in verses 32 and 46 is the reference before they came to Jericho. James and John came to Jesus with a request in verse 37, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory." In St. Matthew's version of this event, in Matthew 20, verse 20, it was the boy's mother who made the request. As I have noted in previous episodes and in the Hebrew Old Testament tradition, the phrase right hand of God usually refers to the place of honor. Jesus replied to this request not with anger or impatience, but with the statement that they did not know what they asked in verse 38. This means that they did not understand that the coming kingdom of which he had spoken was not an earthly kingdom in which Jesus would grant favor. It was only later, after the institution of the Holy Eucharist on Maundy Thursday, after his crucifixion and death, after his resurrection on Sunday, and after their own suffering from persecution, that they understood. Jesus' further and private explanation, offered only to James and John, is instructive on St. Mark's theme of Jesus as servant, and also offers a transition to the turning point verse, Mark 10:45, which we will take up in episode 11. Now, verses 42, 43, and 44, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave to all." Next time in episode 11, we take up the turning point verse, verse 45, in which the purpose of the incarnation and life of Jesus is declared, followed by our discussion of unique quotations, events, and details, which are found only in the Gospel of St. Mark. I thank you for joining me for episode 10 of the Holy Bible, the New Testament. While you're on the website, I invite you to visit the digital library page for our on-demand podcast and videocast archive, the bookstore page for information about all our publications, and a live link to our e-store at our Podbean site, more on that in a moment, and the Anglican Hour page, which offers links to our program archive of current and previous series. Producing these programs requires both time and money. You can support this internet ministry in two ways. You can make a direct donation by sending a check in any amount, payable to St. Chrysostom Church, to our business office address, 7162 Sawtwind Lane, Mechanicsville, Virginia, 23111. Or you can purchase books from our bookstore, the e-store, at our Podbean site, www.stjohnc.podbean.com. Go to the bookstore page where you can order using PayPal any of our 10 publications. If you would like to speak with me personally about this program or any other subject, please call on my church cell phone, 804-306-1190. If you do not reach me, please leave your name, a message, and a callback number. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be merciful to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.